Commissioner Hurst, and then.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. When we first bought the line, was the impression I got was that it was in a state of good repair. That's the state of good repair is the buzzword that's used. So what happened?
Well, one thing is that it's been 13 years since then. So that's with time, it's deteriorated further. And particularly without any service on those parts of the line. So one thing we've noticed is once you reach a certain threshold with some of the infrastructure, the rate of deterioration without continued maintenance accelerates. But I'll turn it over to Sarah to see if there's any other addition.
Yeah, we bought a fixer-upper a little bit. And I mean, we bought it from a private railroad, and its primary use was to move goods. It's a single track line, and you know, doing passenger rail, as demonstrated by this project concept, it's very different than a single track infrequent freight line. So that kind of should kind of explain why the condition is what it is.
Well, was it actually in a state of good repair when we bought it, or was that a misleading?
It was capable of minimally carrying freight loads.
Who was supposed to do the maintenance and the repair?
The railroad.
Did they do it?
No.
Who holds them accountable?
Us. And I mean, that was history that I was not necessarily a part of, so I can't really speak to that. But we did have an agreement with them similar to the agreement that we have with Progressive Rail that required them to maintain the line. And railroads tend to only maintain parts of the line that they're using. And so when, say, the cement plant in Davenport closed, there was no revenue coming from that part of the line. And so as a private railroad, they tend to not maintain it unless they're using it. So I suspect that's what happened.
Well, that's a real chicken and egg scenario in a circular situation where it doesn't get repaired because it doesn't get repaired. And nobody held them accountable. That's it for that question. Thank you.
Commissioner Clark.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just a couple questions here. I just want to focus on a couple areas here. So Beach Street and the boardwalk, right? The cost estimate still assumes it's at grade. And the peer review panel and everyone else knows that an elevated or relocated track is most certainly what's going to be required there. Do we have any estimates on what the delta in capital costs between at grade and an elevated scenario on the Beach Boardwalk line might be?
They're an order of magnitude higher. We did a rough calculation, a back of the envelope calculation.
Sure.
You know, if you just assume that X is your per dollar at grade version, 10X is what an elevated would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I understand there's a lot of unknowns in that, but we have at least some idea where a ballpark might be in that. So, and moving on now to Walker Street in Watsonville, and it's still got unresolved vehicle traffic and limited right of way, and kind of a conceptual east side shift to it. Similarly, Beach Street with its at grade. If these add, say, a 20 to 50% as hinted, do you believe that that pushes us further into an infeasibility situation similar to like what delayed the SMART extensions, for example?
Well, specifically with Watsonville, looking at extending service into Watsonville, that is obviously closer to part of Watsonville Junction. The connection there is a lot easier from that perspective. And what one of the key things coming out of the peer review recommendations was, okay, we've looked at what's kind of the best for Santa Cruz, like county. Sure. What can we achieve? What is an optimal service look like? Now we're in the situation of if we want to bring service to Santa Cruz County, how can we effectively do that within the budgetary constraints that we have for ourselves? So that might be looking at phasing implementation. There's recommendations in the peer review slides that are part of the attachment for that. It's discussed in the report, in the staff report as well. But what one key thing that came out of the peer review panel is, if you want it and you commit to pursuing passenger rail, you can find a way. It may not be what's in the final concept report in the full package right now, and you may take a while to get there, but they think that is feasible.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. And I just want to touch on the Coastal Commission feedback. I'll admit I was a little disappointed in their vague response. I felt they could have given us a little bit more there. So with all these mitigations, with the entire project in the coastal zone and erosion risk, Pajaro River, Harkins Slough, Capitola Bluffs, are we assuming at all that we're going to get past their recommendations or their approval on this? They've blocked similar projects, you know, over the Red-Legged Frog and the Steelhead and whatnot. What is our confidence level that the Coastal Commission is going to accept this project?
I'll take a stab at it, and Sarah, you back me up.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's really difficult at this point, as you said, to get any clarity from Coastal Commission staff on what would be required, because kind of to Commissioner Alternate Hurst's comments, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing there. They're not going to provide you that response until you give them a proposal to comment on. But from the conversations we've had with them, there's a lot of value that the staff see in this concept, bringing coastal access to the community, reducing reliance on greenhouse gas emitting transportation. So there's a lot of things in there they like. There's also challenges that they've obviously addressed and brought up. I think the intersection of those two, the constraints and the benefits, from the conversations with staff, it seems like there's a desire to get to that intersection.
And just my final question here is, I want to focus a little bit in one area of the peer review. And there was one comment in there that said, securing enough grant funding coupled with a setting of a feasible tax measure target is challenging to fund both capital and operations and maintenance. And some of the railroads we've been compared to or have been thrown at us as examples that could be done are San Bernardino and SMART. And I'm wondering if we're aware of the difference in what our tax revenue would be towards this project versus what, say, SMART gets or San Bernardino gets to fund their operations and maintenance.
Sure. I could. Well, I'll say one thing, and you'll fill in the gaps. It was definitely noted in the peer review process. Sonoma Marin has a very different tax base than Santa Cruz County. Same with San Bernardino. Like the amount of population there is different. So one of the key things was also look at your operations. And fundamentally, you could probably, fit in a tax measure to fit whatever capital cost you're going to need, given enough forward thinking and strategic planning. However, with the operations, you're kind of like limited, right? It's going to cost year over year that amount all the time.
They're more of a fixed cost.
Yeah. So that becomes more of the limiting factor of what operations can you sustain ultimately. And so that was one of their recommendations too. Like, how can you scale down some of the maintenance requirements, such as, you know, some of the recommendations they had looking at shared maintenance and things like that, to reduce that ongoing burden, which is a key driver in the tax measure.
Great.
Just to sprinkle a little more numbers at that. Thank you, Mr. Gerbrandt, for your answer. SMART has a 0.25 cent sales tax measure, and that is enough to, you know, maintain and operate their system. They generate between $55 and $60 million per year with their 0.25 cent measure. Our measure D is a 0.5 cent, and it generates about $28 million per year. And so that kind of paints a picture as to why in the financial analysis we needed such a large tax measure in comparison to some of these other facilities, is just because our tax base is much smaller than SMART, VTA, San Bernardino. So that's really one of our biggest challenges here in Santa Cruz County.
Yeah, thank you. And I noted that, for example, Sonoma Marin, they've got, based on the latest estimates, about 744,000 residents. And so they're able to have a smaller impact of a sales tax measure, 0.25 cent per se, and have a lesser impact. And my point is that it has a lesser impact per community member to fund this transportation option for it than even, say, for example, San Bernardino County, who has a 0.5 cent sales tax measure to support theirs. And they generate about $249 million with that, with a population of 2,184,000 and some change. And so there's a significant disparity between those organizations and agencies that can successfully fund an operation of this magnitude, because they have the population to absorb that with lesser of an impact per person, and not having to reduce the community's spending power as much in order to achieve this, is my point. So thank you. I appreciate the excellent report. I appreciate the excellent work with the peer review team. So thank you again so much. You guys continue to make us proud with the work that you bring forward and the information you bring us. So thank you.
Commissioner Kelly, and then Commissioner Stank. Mr. Chairman, for a point of parliamentary inquiry, simply to understand. So am I right? Where we are right now is we've accepted a staff report. We're asking questions by members. We will then go out to the public. The matter will be back before the body. There's a staff recommendation. There's a partner letter in our packet. We'll be taking all those up after the staff, after the public comment. Is that correct,
yes,
sir? Thank you very much.
Mr. Shippen.
Yes, thank you. I build on that. Just to be clear to people in who are here, that the letter that was added to the agenda is also going to be acted on as part of this item. So just to be clear about that. My question had to do with information about the relative role of fare revenue in operational costs. There's no information in that I remember seeing in the report that really looked at, it talked about how much it would cost to have the annual operational cost, the range, and it had information on what fare revenue would bring in. But it didn't talk about what other revenues might be available to the a rail service that would help fill that gap, so that, you know, I'm not aware of any public transportation system where 100% of the cost of operation is being paid for by fare revenue. In fact, the Metro, maybe it's 20%, maybe a little bit more. So do we have information about, for these other systems, about what percentage of their operating costs are covered by their fare revenues?
Yes, we do, and I believe Mark has that answer for us.
Members of the commission, in response to your question, Commissioner Schifrin, the fare box recovery, as we refer to it, as a what fares account for as a part of the operation of the system, varies a lot by system, from system to system. There was some initial evaluation done by your financial consultant when they were looking at the conversation about what a tax measure would require to cover operations, where they looked at an assumed fare. I think the question had been raised about what the basis of that was, because each agency has policies on how they set fares that are very different. There's no consistency from one county to the next in this conversation. But in a lot of those cases, within the industry, 25% to 30% recovery of that operating expense from fares is not an uncommon place for an agency to be in their overall operating budget. There are other ways that they also look at generating revenue to come in to cover that operating cost, whether it's through advertising that they do on their systems, whether it's other promotional things that they do that give visibility to the system, and or do different things with the real estate and the property that they own also as revenue generation back to the operation of their system. We did not do a real deep dive in what the other opportunities are specifically to this project at this point in time. That wasn't the intent of where what we were doing in the operational analysis. It was just typically to identify what the assumed operating cost would be. And then, as I mentioned, your financial consultant did some evaluation. I do think it's worth noting on the capital side, we didn't do that analysis either. That can be a pretty extended effort and really have to have a project identified to get interest from the outside. But there are within some of the peers that were here examples where there has been private funding through public-private partnerships that has come to help in the capital cost of the development of the system as well. So, for example, in San Bernardino on their Redlands line, there is a station that serves the campus of Esri, which is the global software company that does geographic information systems. They were a supporter of that project and wanted that access. So they took responsibility for the station that serves their campus. So that was a reduction in the capital costs that had to be undertaken by the agency to implement that project.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Koenig.
Yeah, just a few quick questions. I also... well, like Commissioner Clark, want to express some disappointment that the Coastal Commission did not give us a more substantive answer. But on the flip side, want to appreciate the peer review that was pulled together. I mean, San Bernardino, VTA, SMART, Metrolink, Caltrain. I mean, these are pretty much the systems that we frequently compare ourselves to, admire what they've done, and want to emulate. So getting this group together, I think, is really helpful. And I just want to make sure I understand correctly. I mean, they were surprised by the high cost per ridership, but they didn't significantly question the actual estimates themselves, right? I mean, we've heard people say, "Oh, this is the Cadillac plan. You know, we want the Pinto plan or whatever." I mean, did they significantly question the estimates that our consultants have come up with here?
No, they did say, you know, overall, the cost did seem high, and in the cost analysis memo, there's discussion about unique factors in Santa Cruz. One of their recommendations was, look at that a little bit more closely. But on a whole, they didn't see any red flags on the cost estimate.
Right, they didn't say like, "Hey, this should actually just be a $1 billion project." I mean, you're way off. Is okay. We're in the ballpark with $4.3 billion. I also noted that, I mean, there was sort of shock and outrage at the idea of just stopping the passenger rail at Depot Park. And here, the peer review group is actually saying you actually, to save money, you might want to stop the line farther east. Can you explain their rationale and that recommendation?
Sure. We did a tour for one of the mornings, but part of the morning in the Beach Flats area. And everybody after walking that was acknowledging that there are significant constraints there. And in order to implement service and get something going, it makes a lot of sense to stop before that. You know, there's a big cost delta once you get over the river. So they were looking at how could we do something that could get service to Santa Cruz. And so that was one of the key things they said. If you're looking at what can we afford, these are types of questions, like how do we kind of make it fit with what we have in our checkbook.
Got it. So maybe end at Seabright or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I was also interested to see that the peer review group also suggested we explore rail banking. I mean, is this, again, maybe you could provide some color on where that's coming from. I mean, is this the SMART group saying, geez, we wish we had done that because now we're dealing with these lawsuits, or what?
No, it wasn't from that angle. It was more of acknowledgement that we've got a very constrained corridor. We've got two very ambitious programs that the commission wants to deliver for Santa Cruz County, the trail component, the rail component. There are challenges with doing them both at the same time, and that was definitely acknowledged by the team. They also acknowledged that when you look at the state rail plan, when you look at the federal priorities, we are not first on the list in terms of those priorities. So there's a lot of work to be done yet on this corridor in terms of the service planning. That's being partnered with Caltrans, and there's this gap of time. So they said, in the interim, as these things are being figured out, you could explore how to, rail banking came up as a potential option. There were others that were discussed, and we've talked about them already today.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's helpful to understand. We're not first on the priority list. LA, for example, is going to host the Olympics, might rise a few spots above us. And also the numbers that you shared, Executive Director Christensen, just about this capacity for a sales tax measure are pretty instructive, right? I mean, we're able to fund, half as much revenue with a sales tax that's twice as high. I mean, we have one quarter the funding capacity of the SMART system based on our population when it comes to sales tax measures. And that's significant. And as the peer review group pointed out, problematic. So thank you very much for this report. Thank you to Mr. McLaren and everyone at the HDR team. It's very comprehensive, and I think it's really helpful in allowing our community to move forward. Thanks.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to go out to the public now. We're on this item of the agenda. Please line up.
Sorry about that.
With that, and bring it back to the commission. So, Commissioner Koenig.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to move the staff recommendation along with the additional seven elements outlined in the partner letter attached to this item. And
go ahead.
And if I may, just to opine a little bit on the motion. So I guess I'll start by saying, we're starting to have a debate very much like this around 3 years ago in 2022, considering moving towards the interim trail then. Measure D went on the ballot, 2022 Measure D. It did fail. And what happened was the general plan for the county stayed exactly the same. Nothing changed from a legal perspective. And yet, given that, this commission did take that vote seriously. And we proceeded with the study we have before us today in effort to keep faith with the voters, in an effort to continue planning for rail as our general plan with the county asks us to do. We now have an incredibly extensive study on passenger rail before us. It goes into all the details. And as one member of the public just shared, 100% of the voters had no idea a train would cost this much, take this long to deliver. Just have so many challenges involved in so many places. The other thing that we have fundamentally learned since that vote is that we cannot afford the ultimate trail. The very premise that we can build the trail and keep the rail exactly as it is today is false. We have to use the space where the tracks are if we are going to deliver a trail. And I think it's important to understand, because people have suggested all kinds of compromises. Well, let's just build the trail right up next to the tracks. We can only build an option that's been environmentally cleared. We have two. We have the ultimate trail and we have the interim trail that have been cleared for the environmental documents for both segments 8 and 9 and segments 10 and 11. And so we have to choose one or the other. There's no third option at this point. We can mix and match a little bit, if I understand correctly. And so we may still do that. You know, I want to thank Commissioner Keeley for working with me on a negotiated compromise between the two long-standing sides of this debate. I'll just say, I don't like elements of the peace plan that we brought forward. You know, the conclusion that I came to looking at this report was, let's not spend another dime on rail. I don't see what changes in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years that will ever make this project possible. And I just got to say, that does not mean I'm not completely dedicated to transit solutions in our community. What has continuously flabbergasted me about the pro-rail folks in our community is how they're so wedded to this one solution and completely forgetting the objective. I mean, and I got to give a nod to the PRT folks here. I mean, I do think that's an idea whose time, if not come, is coming. I mean, we can look to contracts, you know, that are taking place even with Glideways in San Jose, with Swift Cities in Irvine, that this kind of technology is coming into fruition and certainly will within the next 20 years, almost certainly. And so we have to come together and look at options for delivering better transit, including improved bus service, like bus on shoulder, including some of this new technologies that will still get us improved mobility throughout our community in a way that does not cost $1.7 million in capital cost per person, the way this train proposal would on the cheap side, and $13,000 per year to operate. That's just a bad investment. So no, I don't want to give another dime to rail. Not another cent, but I'm willing to commit the $1 million in future rail study. And I'm willing to continue to commit to the dream of passenger rail if it allows us to move forward today. And we really need to move forward today. I mean, we delayed reviewing the ZBIRD study, the passenger rail study, to this time. I mean, we were supposed to look at it earlier this year. It was delayed from the spring. We delayed receiving the rail banking report. Let's get some closure on this issue. Let's make a turn. I think this is the elements of this partner letter that I think are fantastic, is that it allows us to build the trail. We all say we all want a trail, and this would allow us to build it as fast as possible by avoiding rail banking if we can. And we've heard some of the complications of that in the report earlier today, and if we can sidestep those, we can get the trail that we want delivered sooner rather than later. The hope is that this would also minimize disruptions for Roaring Camp, our beloved local business, and we all want to do everything we can to support them. It would also preserve all the grant funding we have received for the rail and trail corridor. So let's take this opportunity today to do the opposite of Washington, right? A place where we see bitter, radical partisanship. Let's practice radical collaboration instead. Let's get this resolution now, and let's move forward. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Keeley, then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members, want to extend my thanks and appreciation to Commissioner Koenig for working on this matter together. He's right. We don't see this the same. What we have attempted to do is find common ground that we believe is in the best interests of this community. I am trying to keep faith with the original Measure D. I am a believer that the three elements contained in Measure D of a highway widening, a trail, and rail are both practical and aspirational on the part of the community. They were asked this question years ago, and they said, this is what we want you to do. It was kind of ratified. People can interpret the second Measure D, I think, how they want to. That's reasonable. I'm going to interpret it my way, which is to say that in my view, it was a signal from the voters, knowing what they knew at the moment, to continue moving forward in the way that the original Measure D had asked the voters, are you willing to raise your taxes to do these things? Voters said, yes, we are. Now, do you want to change that? The second Measure D, no, I don't think we do. But they weren't asked that in the context of either, and we can debate whether it's $2 billion, $4 billion, $8 billion, $1.50. I mean, we can debate all that. But what we know is that it's probably some number big enough to choke a horse. And so, and the local share of cost has not been asked to the voters correctly, because we don't have a rail project yet. We're marching our way towards a project that perhaps we could fund with an EIR and select a project alternative, go to the state and feds and say, in that world, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, whatever number of years that is, we can't ask them for money before we have a project. So when we have a project, we'll go ask them for money. The world, none of us can predict what that world looks like. What we do know is that when we ask that question, we're not there as supplicants asking for somebody else's tax dollars. We're there asking to claw back our tax dollars that we pay to the state and federal government to bring it back in here and apply it to this. So the commissioner and I, where we have the common ground, is we do not want to lose this active transportation grant, and I am willing to debate anybody, anytime, any place, about whether that's a real or imagined threat. This is a real thing. There's not one person on this commission that thinks that's some kind of hokey-pokey, made-up thing. It's a real thing. All right, well, with that as the context now, not 20 years ago, not 5 years ago, today, what is it we do then to keep faith with the voters? And what Commissioner Koenig and I have been working on with others, I want this to be clear, been suggestions around transparency and Brown Act. We were very careful to make sure that we kept inside the Brown Act in terms of not talking to a majority of the commissioners. But we also reached out to many other people. And I've got a couple of friendlies we're going to talk about here in a minute in terms of possible amendments based on the last few days. I appreciate where we are at today. And I will, before I go to my friendlies, I'll say one other thing. If I believed that there is a tool, a tool belt at the federal level that has three versions of the same thing, and there's absolutely no difference between them, I would not be making the argument I'm going to make today. But I believe that the federal government created several tools on their tool belt to try to deal with the myriad of possible situations they would have to deal with, whether it's surface transportation or the Federal Railroad Administration, that there are innumerable situations in the United States involving rail, right? And they don't have one Swiss Army knife over there that's going to somehow fix every situation or be available or fit. So they created a range of tools. The fact that this body or this community wasn't aware of them till fairly recently, is not to me a bad thing. We know about them now. And they do exist to treat different situations. If I thought that this was rail banking the way it has always been talked about, I don't have this motion. I would not be signing on to this motion. Because for me, rail banking is the white flag of surrender on the rail component of the promise that was made. I don't believe that's the tool we are selecting here as a commission. I think we're looking to use one of the other tools which allows us to do this and return at a later date when we have an actual project and we have an actual, we have actual clarity about what our local share is going to be, that that tool then allows us to operationalize what the will of the voters are at that point. So with that thought, Mr. Chairman, if I might, I want to offer a couple of friendly amendments that have been that I've discussed with my colleague, Mr. Koenig. Take a look at number two. And on number two, if we could add the following language. Return for approval of the Regional Transportation Commission prior to any funding application submittal. So we would add to number two. The reason for this is that, as you might imagine, we have all heard from lots of folks. Mr. Jensen's going to have ideas, other people are going to have ideas and things that they're going to talk about as we move along here. The Seaside Company asked for this language as a way for them to have the kind of comfort level with this overall motion. I think that that motion, that's what we typically do anyway. So, Mr. Koenig, would you accept that as a friendly?
I would, yes.
Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Excuse me.
Hi, Director Christensen here. So, as a practice, we don't necessarily come to the commission and ask permission to apply for grants if the grants are aligned with our program. Are we talking about just rail projects? Can you clarify what that
that is,
what the intent is?
Mr. Koenig, that is my intention.
Yes.
Yes.
I understand as well.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I just want to make sure you're not oversubscribing staff for, you know, coming back for every single grant we apply.
Thank you for that.
Thank
you for asking that question. Second one, Mr. Chairman, would be on number five. This was a request made to me yesterday by Fort, which was that we would, on number two, instead of saying...
No, the second sentence.
I'm sorry, the second sentence, instead of using the word suspend, the word pause would be included there. So strike the word suspend. This is on number five. This is on number five, where it says suspend project activities. Fort requested pause. I am comfortable with that word change. Mr. Koenig, is that, would that work for you?
I am as well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Chair, do we need a second on each one of these individual friendly amendments to it, or can we take this one?
No, because they made the motion, so they're...
I'm just ensuring we don't need a second on each of these individuals, or if I'm we can take second, all of
one. So I think we're good procedurally, but
right.
Mr. Chairman, that's your call, yes. Not my call.
Great.
Then on number five... add language that would say investigate where the tracks can be preserved next to the trail. I'll check with Mr. Koenig, see if that works.
That's
for you.
Acceptable. Thank you.
That'll work for you, sir. Okay, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Those are my comments, sir. Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Shiffrin.
Thank you. Let me first ask a few questions just to sort of get into the meat of it. There have been issues, questions raised by the public about the potential Brown Act violation of the commission acting on the letter from Commissioners Keeley and Koenig. My understanding is that I think I remember seeing that letter on Friday, even if it was on Monday. I didn't see any Brown Act violation, but given that this issue was raised, I want to ask our attorney to respond to that.
Yeah, there was correspondence submitted, but the correspondence, when it was submitted, it was posted and made available to the public. So it meets the requirements under the Brown Act for what is really essentially a modification to the motion that was in your packet. And so this would be, the commission could have just considered all of this today as part of your deliberations. But in this instance, there was a written document which showed the changes, and that was posted to the website and available for public review. So I think
in other words, there's no violation of the Brown Act.
No, there's no violation. I do. There's a couple of minor suggestions I have to the wording to I think be consistent with kind of a practice that the commission has done before related to items 5 and 7. And I'm happy to raise those when the commission has completed their discussion.
Okay. Another concern that was raised had to do with the resolution. And I didn't go and look, but there was the idea that the staff report recommendation is to accept the study, and yet the resolution says we're adopting this study. Could you clarify what's going on there?
Yeah,
my understanding is that we're accepting the study, so the resolution should.
That's correct. You're accepting the study.
So if
there's more to it. The resolution has more provisions to it, but as it relates to the study, you're accepting the study.
Okay. So before I would like to offer a number of friendly amendments, but before I do that, they're all kind of based, or most of them are based on the notion that before we make a final decision, and I support the motion on the floor to move forward with planning for the interim trail, and I support it because I believe there's no other way of preserving the grant and getting the trail. If I thought that there was another way to implement the ultimate trail, I would not be supporting the interim trail. And I think that's where we are. So I want to talk about some of these other options that have been suggested to us. One of them is that we have a narrower trail. And I asked the County Public Works staff to look at that and was told that it was just not feasible. Is that your understanding of the idea of instead of moving a narrower trail closer to the tracks, that would require environmental work? It would, there's no notion of what the cost would be. And so really in terms of solving the problem of keeping the grants, meeting the timeline, even if it turned out to be feasible, and there are real questions about whether it would or not. So here comes the person who told me all that information. So glad to have him either correct me or agree with me. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Chair and Commissioners. Rob Tidmore, Principal Planner with the County of Santa Cruz and the Project Manager for Segments 10 and 11. So, Andy, you're correct. We did a high-level exercise of analyzing what it would take to move the trail essentially closer to the tracks, as close as possible. And that, in my mind, that was put the trail up to the edge of the ties. There are a couple issues with that. The primary one being that we need to, in order to get a permit from the Water Board for construction of the trail has to drain directly to an adjacent vegetated area to the trail. So that means there needs to be space between the edge of the ties and the trail to accommodate drainage. That is a minimum of 2 feet. And so given that in most of the corridor, we're somewhere between 8.5 and 10 feet from the edge of between the center line of track and the edge of the trail that only gives us roughly 2 to 3.5 feet to shift the trail closer to the tracks if you accommodate that drainage. And so the benefits of doing that are, and the cost that would save, in our estimation, are minimal, and do not achieve the sort of major cost savings that we need to deliver the ultimate trail.
Thank you. The other one, another one that was mentioned today was the bus on rail option. And my memory is we spent a whole bunch of money and studied a bus on rail option, and with the with Metro sort of taking the lead, and they ultimately determined that it was not really feasible. Another option that we hear over and over again is the PRT option. If the commission decided to move forward with the PRT option, we would lose the grants. I don't see, there's no way that the grants for the trail could be transferred over within the amount of time that we have, even if the commission did spent $1 million to do the feasibility study that they're asking for. Whether the commission in the future wants to consider PRT, it's been talked about for a long time. It's not a feasible option now in terms of an alternative to the proposed interim trail. Finally, one that was brought up is like, why don't we just put the rail and the trail together as one project? And that's may ultimately be possible for the long term, but for the short term, I don't see any way that we could do it, even if there was a way of doing it, which I'm not sure I understand, but assuming there was, we've got a timeline that we have essentially a year and a half. Less than a year and a half to start construction or be ready to start construction on a trail. And if we ask for an extension, all that's going to do is increase the cost, assuming that the CTC would give it. So I don't think that's a realistic option. So what we come back to is, can we build the ultimate trail? The commission has approved the ultimate trail, approved the EIR for the ultimate trail, for segments 8 through 11. What we have learned is that the ultimate trail for the segments 8 to 11 is not financially feasible. We cannot build it with the money that we have in the grants. It's a 60, 70, 77 million. It's way beyond the capacity, whatever number we come up with. So what do we do? What we did and what the commission agreed to do is set up a subcommittee to meet with a member of the CTC and this CTC staff and ask them if they would be willing to fund 100% of, give us 100% of the money, and we would build 75% of the project. Because one of the, and correct me if I'm wrong, if they reduce the amount of money, if we reduce the scope, we will not be able to build any of the segments to segment 10, segment 9. We might be able to go to 7th Avenue, but that would mean we'd have no money for South County. So in terms of, if the, we could go to the CTC and ask them to give us whatever money they're willing to give us, we can only afford, we can't do the whole thing. But what it really means is that we can't do any of it. So all we can ask them to do is give us 100% of the money to do 75% of the project. When we, when our committee went to the CTC staff and member of the commission, we were told they were not likely to do that. In fact, they wouldn't do that. Now, we can accept that. And if we do accept that, that means I don't see any alternative to moving forward.
Yeah, we don't have forward. Any that they're not in the, did you see that? I think he only checked the lockouts though. Can you double check?
Okay, I'll try to remember my train of thought. So if we agreed with what we heard from the CTC staff and the in that and from our committee, then I think we have no alternative to doing the interim trail unless we're going to lose, unless we want to lose the grant and with all the, and not have a trail. There are members of the community who believe that the our commission should not give up on the ultimate trail without going to the CTC itself. And asking to be on the CTC agenda, give members of the community, both sides, the chance to go to the CTC and make the case for why they should give us 100% of the money, 75% of the project, where they could give us a, we could use 100% of the money and use up and build 100% of the project if we build it on the trail. That's what, that's from my perspective, if we could get 100% of the money for 75% of the project, it would be worth doing that. And the reason I think it would be worth doing that is that while I am appreciative of the motion, although for one of the, for the maker of the motion was somewhat reluctant to give support for moving forward with rail, there are some real problems with making the likelihood of reducing the likelihood that rail is going to happen. I was using these percentages. I was thinking, well, what if we now had a 50-50 chance to have ultimately succeed with rail? Some people would say it's 30-70, some might say it's 70-30, but let's say it's 50-50. What will happen if we have the interim trail? First of all, what will happen is that we will, the cost of replacing the trail when we do, when we did get rail, would be greater than just doing rail. If we had the, if the trail was the ultimate trail, then just doing rail would be cheaper than having to do both the rail and the trail combined. And I do appreciate that the motion does accept that in the long term, if we have the interim trail, we're going to need a rail and trail project. The other, another thing that happens is that this commission is making a commitment to pursue rail, and I really appreciate that willingness to do that. We don't know what a future commission is going to do. There, you know, there's always going to be a constituency that doesn't, that thinks rail is not feasible, and a constituency that wants it. At this point, we're willing to go forward. That's great. I don't know how much it's going to continue to be there. It also means that we're agreeing that we're not going to have rail in 20 years. And that probably is realistic, given how much it is and how difficult it's going to be to make it happen. But that's putting it off for that time period. And then there is a concern that once the trail is there, it will have a constituency that won't want to have it removed, even for a short time, if it's going to be replaced. So, you know, moving forward with considering rail makes sense. But it makes sense. I think we have to recognize that it has risks, and it has greater risks than if we would build the ultimate trail. So there, you know, I appreciate the commission letting me give this background, because I'm going to offer a bunch of friendly amendments, which may or may not be acceptable. And one of them has to do with hopefully an easy one has to do with this whole notion of the Corridor ID program. I've heard, yes, the Corridor ID program, we're in the Corridor ID program. We need to move forward with it right away. It can do this, it can do that. If we have the interim trail, that means we get kicked out of the Corridor ID program. I heard if we do the interim trail, we won't get kicked out of the Corridor ID program. Someone suggested, and I think it's a good suggestion, to bring... Someone suggested that we invite the chief of the Caltrans Division of Rail to come and make a presentation to us and really explain what the Corridor ID program is, what the service development plan is, and sort of end that. So that's going to be one portion of my motion. Then I think the other amendments that I'm going to bring forward would be to have our commission formally request the CTC to act on our proposal to essentially get 100% of the motion, the grant funding to do 75% of the project. And if they say yes, I think that's the preferred way to go. If they say no, I don't see any alternative to moving forward with the interim trail. I think we're stuck. And I don't like it, but I think we're stuck. I also think it makes sense to request our state legislators to help us in going to the CTC. I appreciate that the motion has been changed to, instead of suspending work on the ultimate trail, to just pause it. Because if we're going to be able to pursue trying to find a way to fund at least a portion of, and I think it would be 8 to 10 and just not doing 11, then we need to keep that alive. And so what would come back is information on what it would cost to do the final design for the interim trail and what it would cost to do the final design for the ultimate trail. And finally, and I'll read the friendly amendments, or hope to be friendly amendments, would be to ask staff when they come back with designs for the interim trail that they include an alternative that does not require removal of the tracks, and that may not be feasible. It may, and I'm prepared, you know, this is stuff that I'm not an engineer, as you all know. And so it may, but I think it needs to be looked at. And I've been told that there's a technical way of putting a trail on a rail with railroad tracks that even the train could go on. I think we need to look at that. If there's a way to preserve the track, given that we are making a commitment to continue to pursue the possibility of rail, we should preserve the tracks. So given all that, let me just sort of read my proposed friendly amendments. One, invite the director, the chief of the Caltrans Division of Rail on corridor identification development to attend the January RTC meeting and make a presentation on the corridor ID program and the service development plan. Two, formally request the CTC to consider at a regular meeting the RTC proposal to approve a change in scope of the rail grants to the city and the county so that only segments 8 and 10 would be constructed with no reduction in the approved amounts of the grants. Three, request our state legislators to assist the commission in its rail trail funding proposal at the RTC. And four, direct staff to return no later than February 2026 meeting with a report on options for constructing the interim trail that include an alternative that would not require either removing or completely covering the existing tracks. So I'd like to ask the maker of the motion and the second if you're willing to accept those amendments.
So thank you very much. I'd be willing to accept the first and fourth of those. So inviting the Caltrans to give a presentation on the corridor ID program and essentially investigating the option of building the interim trail over the tracks without removing them. I have concerns about asking the CTC to take a formal action for two reasons. First of all, it airs our dirty laundry and says we can't make a decision at the local level. Second, removing segment 11 is like 13,000 feet out of about 20,000 linear feet of segments 10 and the combined 10 and 11 project. It's significant. It's a huge impact on my district. It's a huge impact on Commissioner DeSerpa's district. I don't think that's an acceptable outcome, even if the CTC were to agree to it. It's not acceptable to me. For the same reasons, I wouldn't want to sort of ask our state legislators to help us with funding. I mean, the state budget is in a bad place right now. I don't think that the likelihood of them agreeing to it is at all high. And I would rather simply have the certainty that we can move forward today with the proposal before us, and that we're not going to sort of wait some indefinite amount of time, late into next year to decide what we're ultimately going to do. So I'd be fine with one and four as friendly amendments.
May I please ask a question? Director Christensen here. I'm just worried about scheduling. Your comment was very specific to the January RTC meeting. I just want to remind everybody that the January RTC meeting is an evening meeting, and we're asking a partner staff to come and present. And in the interest of scheduling, can we have a little bit of wiggle room there? And
I would be happy to add, if feasible, to both 1 and 4. When the staff is asked to come back, it would be as soon as possible for the presentation, because I think it's important. But I want to respond to the last point you made, because I think it was what I was going to say and I forgot, which is the intention of these amendments is not to slow anything down. It is supportive of the motion, which is to move forward today on the interim trail. It's only saying while we move forward, it's going to take, I asked, at least 6 months to do the final design of the interim trail. During that time, there is time to go to the CTC and get their final decision. I hear what you're saying about the consequences of not doing segment 11, and it's reasonable. On the other side of that is the sort of giving up on the ultimate trail. And at this point, I don't think we should give up on the project that we pursued, even if it's less than the full project. So if I understand it, you're willing to accept inviting the Caltrans person here as soon as possible. And you're willing to accept when the designs come back, that they include keeping the tracks. Is that acceptable to the second?
Sure.
Okay. So then what I would like to do is make a substitute motion. And the substitute, I am very appreciative of that, but I'd like to make a substitute motion that would approve the amended motion made by Commissioners Keeley and Koenig, and add 2 additional provisions to the motion: formally request the CTC to consider at a regular meeting the RTC proposal to approve a change in scope of the rail grants to the city and county, so only segments 8 and 10 would be constructed with no reduction in the approved amounts of grants, and request our state legislators to assist the commission in its rail trail funding. So that would be the motion. It's the motion that was already on the floor that's amended, plus those 2 provisions.
I'll second that motion.
So this has been first and second. So we're just talking about your motion. Anybody have comment on that and clear on what the motion is?
Not on that motion. Well, not on that motion right now.
So he's suggesting we're gonna vote on his 1, 2, and 4, basically.
Well, 2 and 3.
What the motion is, that's not his substitute.
The motion is the original motion as proposed by Commissioners Koenig and Keeley, with the amendments that they accepted, which is the presentation by Caltrans Braille person and the options for the interim trail when it comes back, plus the 2 that they wouldn't accept, requesting the CTC to approve to consider the proposal to approve the ultimate trail as far as we can do it, giving us all the money and asking our state legislators to help. And so that's now the motion on the floor.
And you seconded, Commissioner?
Yes, I second that motion.
So with that, everybody clear?
I do have a question. I have another friendly amendment. Would, if voting on this, would that, when would I have, I mean, we'll vote on this and then see if there's a friendly amendment to that?
Yeah, let's work on this, and then we'll come back to you.
So, quick question. So we have 2 votes that we're voting on right now.
First is that we're gonna vote on this letter with the changes.
Plus the added four items that, you know, or two items that got added.
Is the substitute motion passes, that
can be the motion on the floor? If the substitute motion passes, that's the motion on the floor. If the substitute motion fails, then the original motion with the two amendments that have been accepted and the amendments that the seconder added, that becomes the amount, that becomes the motion.
And floor. I have a point of order because there are other people that might want to make amendments. And so it seems like all of that should be together in the vote, not a separate vote.
Yeah, your point of order. I mean, if we pass a substitute motion, it passes. If you wanted to make an amendment that is not friendly, right, that is by vote, that maybe the better way to do it would be to propose the additional, you know, items two and three of your proposal as an amendment.
That's an option, but if the substitute motion passes, that does not prevent any further amendments to be made to that.
Well, no, I believe if it passes, it passes, and at that point, we're done.
Then what it says is that the substitute motion is on the floor. So maybe we should ask the attorney.
The substitute motion is on the floor, which is what the commission would vote on. If the commissioners are concerned, and I've heard this from two commissioners already, that there may be some additional amendments you would want to make even to the substitute motion, you should propose those as friendly amendments to the substitute motion, or alternatively, because you're at risk of having a very complex motion before you, alternatively, the approach that was discussed between Commissioner Koenig and Commissioner Schifrin to just vote on the two additional items that Commissioner Schifrin is asking for, because there's concurrence amongst the motion, the primary motion and the substitute motion on all of the primary motion components and two of the four that Commissioner Schifrin identified. So if the commission wanted to consider the two additional alternatives as a motion, that could be a standalone motion unless anyone wanted to change that motion. But that seems very clear to me if that's what the commission wishes to do.
Can we do that, Andy?
Lowell has had it.
Well, I support the substitute motion because I think we need to know a lot more. I mean, we've heard a lot, and some of it's pretty confusing. But what we really need to hear is how this is going to affect the corridor ID program. We need to hear more from the California Transportation Commission. We need to hear more from the Surface Transportation Board. And we need to hear a lot more from Caltrans, too, so that we can figure out what to advise the staff and what direction to go in. So I think this is the real compromise with the substitute motion.
Let me sort of clarify with the attorney. There's a motion on the floor. I could withdraw that motion and then, being sort of trying to be collegial and just make the motion to amend on the two things that I want. I don't have to do that. I have a motion on the floor. I can just say, I want people to vote on the motion on the floor. And is that correct?
Well, the commission, assuming no additional requests for discussion by the commissioners, that is correct. That is the motion that's on the floor. But your substitute motion is entitled to discussion amongst the commissioners and possibly amendment, just like the primary motion was.
Yes, I understand that. But what I'm being requested to do is to essentially withdraw my motion and make a motion to amend the original motion for the two things that I wanted added. And if I don't do that, you're right. The substitute motion's on the floor. If people want to make amendments, they can make amendments. But in order to be collegial and not put commissioners who support most of the motion but may not support the things I want but don't want to have to vote against all the things that they do support, and given the compromises that have been made by commissioners in putting out the motion that was on the floor, I'm willing to withdraw my substitute motion and make a motion to amend the motion on the floor to formally request the CTC to consider the at a regular meeting, the RTC proposal. As I've said before, I won't repeat all the verbiage, and also request our state legislators to help. So the question is, will somebody second that?
Do we have a second for Andy's?
I'll second.
I'll second. So it's been first and second. Everybody knows. So now a roll call.
Mr. Chairman, just on the question.
I understand
what, and Commissioner Schiffer and I've had this discussion, dangling conversation about this exact point for several days now. And I have a different view than he has about what to do with this motion. I believe the question has been asked and answered at Caltrans. It's been asked and answered with a CTC commissioner. It's been asked and answered with senior staff at CTC. To ask them again to do something that I think they have made it abundantly clear they are not going to do. We asked them three questions. Can we do three quarters of the project and keep 100% of the money? No. Can we do this in a different way? Sure, make us a proposal. That's the proposal that we're making, is how we're going to do that. So this question's been asked and answered. To take this up to the CTC, what are we doing with that? Why is it we're going to the CTC, our lifeline for funding anything and everything we want to do, and stick a thumb in their eye and make them turn into the Santa Cruz County Regional Transportation Commission over this question is a strategic and political error on our part. I think we've fashioned a compromise, a principled compromise motion. We have accepted various requests from folks. I think this is a step too far. I think it risks jeopardizing the goodwill that we have with the CTC. So I would request a no vote.
If I could respond.
Go ahead.
I think my friend Commissioner Keeley raises very legitimate concern. And what is being proposed here is not to disrespect either the work of the committee that tried to, that met with CTC staff. But as we all know, staff is staff to a commission. And ultimately, the commission has the authority. And just like I've heard over the years, when community people don't agree with an answer they get from our staff, they want it to come to us and have us make the decision. And I don't think that, given how controversial this issue is in the community, that it will give us a black eye with the CTC if we go to them and ask them to confirm or not confirm what we're asking from their staff. That's what we've asked from the staff. And the staff gave their best decision, looking at what the situation is and what's happening elsewhere. But the commissioners are political appointees, and they have their own additional role. And for us to go to them and say, will you let us do something that is consistent with what you've always told us to do, which is to provide rail service, this is a way of making it more likely that we're going to be able to provide rail service. So make an exception in this case. Staff is always less likely to make exceptions. It's the political bodies that can make the exceptions. And that's why I think, although it's unusual and puts me in an uncomfortable position of disagreeing with a colleague, I'm willing to keep this motion on the floor and ask the commission to support it.
Mr. Chairman, one more comment, if I might.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think the two issues, if I obviously, Mr. Schiffer and I don't see this same. He did not mention, I don't think he did it intentionally, he did not mention that in both a pre-meeting for an hour and a half with Commissioner Carl Guardino and Carl Guardino being on the Zoom call that we all had with senior CTC staff in Sacramento and elsewhere, the answer was no. I have known Carl Guardino for 50 years, 50, not 15, 50 years. Carl Guardino does not opine on things that he isn't very certain about. So I understand that about what the commissioner is trying to do here. I again think the question's been asked and answered. I think there's a second part that we haven't talked about. The commissioner also wants us to turn on our legislative delegation. So let's think of who that is. Senator Laird, Assemblymember Don Addis, Assemblymember Gail Pellerin, and the Speaker of the Assembly, who represents 10 precincts down here in the south part of the county. He wants to turn them on, fire them up, to go get a different answer than what we got from Carl Guardino and the CTC staff in our previous questions. Now, I think the commission should think long and hard about whether you want to turn on your legislative delegation and give them either a request or a direction to join in an effort to overturn what we've already been told by CTC commissioner and staff. I request a no vote.
With that, like I said, I was at that committee and I heard loud and clear what, you know, we were tasked to do, get these questions answered. We've been turning, you know, rocks under, you know, from the community saying, you know, try this, try that, try. We've done it all. And we're at this point that we need to make a decision. And there's a compromise. You know, I've always talked about, you know, a compromise. People don't listen to me. I'm like I don't know what it was, you know, but you know, I want to, thank Commissioner Koenig, Commissioner Kelly for coming up with us an air for a compromise, because I knew there had to be a compromise because the community is being tear apart on this issue, you know, and we're not moving forward. We're moving at a snail pace. If anything, you know, and at this time, this is one of the best options that we have for our community. You know, I believe me, I've been getting lots of grief from both sides, but like I said, I love it, you know.
Mr. Chairman, a question. Yeah, I want to make sure that we know what we're voting on when you call for the vote here, as I understand it.
Yes, so we're I'm going to call the question. So this is the substitute motion.
It's an amendment.
An amendment
on the floor.
An amendment on the floor to approve
the added language that would formally request the CTC to consider at a regular meeting the RTC proposal to approve a change in the scope of the rail grants to the city and county, so that they would only fund segments 8 through 10, only 8 through 10 would be constructed with no reduction in the approved amounts of funding. And we would request, not direct, our state legislators to assist the commission in its rail trail funding proposal, which they could agree to do or not. We would only be requesting them.
All right. With that, we're all clear. Can I get a roll call?
Commissioner Jensen?
No.
Commissioner Keeley?
No.
Commissioner Clark?
No.
Commissioner Montesino?
No.
Commissioner Alternate Hurst?
Yes.
Commissioner Alternate Shiffrin?
Aye.
Commissioner DeSerpa?
No.
Commissioner Koenig?
No.
Commissioner Alternate Pegler?
No.
Commissioner Alternate Lynn?
No.
Commissioner Kitos Carter?
Aye.
Commissioner Leonor?
Yes.
That fails.
Call for the question, Mr. Chairman.
So this is the original motion with, the few added language. So
well, point of procedure, I think there were other amendments that other commissioners might want.
Was it Commissioner Jensen?
Yeah, thank you very much.
I have a friendly amendment that I'd like to make. And first of all, I'd like to thank Commissioner Koenig and also Commissioner Keeley for your leadership on this, trying to work through this difficult situation. My friendly amendment is regarding around the Capitola Trestle, which is right between segment, obviously, 10 to 11. And my friendly amendment that I'd be requesting would be to direct the staff to pursue options for retrofitting the historic Capitola Trestle for an interim bike and pedestrian use as quickly as possible, either as part of segment 11 or as a separate project to serve the greater region.
It's acceptable to me as the maker of the motion.
Commissioner Keeley, do you accept?
That's acceptable to me, yes.
You want to get a different second for that.
Okay.
I'll second that.
I'm happy to second that, yeah.
You have to make it as a... You have to make a different motion.
Yeah, so...
That doesn't work for me, but...
Can I clarify? So retrofit or basically convert the Capitola Trestle from its existing use to a trail as part of the Coastal Rail Trail projects that are under development that we already have grant funding secured for, or as a separate future project? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
With that, what would that like do to the time to would that?
Well, that's just another big, huge project for our agency to take on.
Go ahead.
I mean, for the chair to clarify, but I think that since it's not acceptable to the second of the main motion, you'd have to make it as a proposed amendment, similar to Commissioner Schifrin just did. I heard several possible seconds there. Maybe you want to take care of that.
Yeah. I'll go with a formal amendment would be to address my same comments would be to direct the staff to pursue options in retrofitting the historic Capitola Trestle as an interim pedestrian as quick as possible, either part of segment 11 or as a completely separate project. And that's what it'd be.
And I'll second that.
If I could offer some comments, I'm sure Commissioner Schifrin will say, why is this important to the motion before us? I'll tell you why.
I didn't ask that question.
Oh, but I could have sworn I saw the question on your face. But let me answer that question for anyone thinking it. Capitola has a little thing called Measure L in place, which says we're not going to divert the trail off of the trestle. And Councilmember Jensen, Commissioner Jensen has been dealing with the challenges of implementing that and staying true to city code. And so as we pursue the interim trail throughout other parts of Segment 11, clearing up, I think that any additional facilities in the city of Capitola are not meant to replace the rail trail through Capitola, are not meant to divert it, but be in addition to the Capitola Trestle ultimately becoming part of the larger trail, I think just makes the city's job a lot easier as far as working with the RTC, even if it's a separate project, right? What I hear in the motion is, that if it's convenient part of Segment 11, great, in which case it closes a gap in the trail, a significant gap, a 200-foot on either side, no skateboarding allowed in the city of Capitola because people have died when they come down that hill gap. And it makes our partner agency in the city of Capitola a lot easier to work with. So thank you.
If I could comment on it, I think it would be great to have the Capitola Trestle be usable. I think the problem is that I see is one of timing and potential cost. We're moving forward with the, as the motion been approved or would be part of the motion, to move forward with an interim trail. We believe that the interim trail is going to come with, the cost of that is going to come within the amount of the grants that we have. I was a little shocked when I, in the last staff report, where there were all sorts of costs that I didn't realize could be costs of the interim trail. I think until we know what those costs are, to add another component to the project is problematic. And I think so that's one issue. And the other issue is to do it as a separate project. It's going to take staff and the consultants a lot of time and work and energy to get that interim trail and moving forward with the rail. You know, we have limits to the agency. So let me suggest, if it's okay with the maker of the motion, that the motion sort of indicate that the Capitola Trestle be included in, potentially be included in the interim trail, if it's possible to do it within the time frame and within the, because it's not designed at all. Plus, we have no environmental, I don't remember whether the environmental report covered it or not. So, I mean, it's a question of if it can be done within the cost, within the time period, I think it's great. And if that's acceptable to the maker of the motion, that the commission would move forward with that, if it's feasible, cost-wise and time-wise, then that would be one thing. And then the second part that we would put off, if it's not, that then we would put off pursuing that as a separate project until we've got, you know, until we have this staff capacity to really put together a grant that would go after funding for that project. So, I mean, I agree completely. It would be great to have it, but I don't want to have it at the expense of being able, of potentially losing the grants that we have and holding or making it really impossible to do it. So that's really my concern. So I don't know whether you'd be willing to accept those changes to your motion.
Yeah, I appreciate those comments. My comments was, you know, to pursue options. So I was looking for options for them to come back with. What does that really entail? And so until we know what those options are, you know, can it be put into Levin? Would it be a private partnership at a later date? So there would be some options and have some dialogue around that.
So would it be fair to sort of restate your motion in saying that there's a direction to staff to come back with a report when it provides information on on pursuing the interim trail with the potential of including either in that project or a future project, the Capitola Trestle?
Sure, that wording is different from what you heard me say.
I mean, I think even what you said, either as part of Segment 11 or as a separate project, but I mean, I hear your concerns. I totally agree. We do not want to postpone Segment 11. We do not want to, I mean, I'm hoping staff maybe will clarify whether it was environmentally cleared or not. Maybe it's not even possible because it's not environmentally cleared. But, you know, by having the option, what it does effectively with the motion as stated is simply say, tell the city of Capitola that we're intending to ultimately make that part of the trail. And therefore, I think it gives a little bit more breathing room to the conversation between county staff, which is trying to implement the trail on both sides of the city of Capitola and through Capitola. It allows that conversation to be like, anything we do on city streets is in addition to a long-term vision and plan to build a trail and trestle, and it would not be considered a diversion. And that facilitates Councilmember Jensen to respect the code and that was added by Measure L.
Well, would it be fair to say then that the intent of the motion is to express the commission's intent to move forward with a project over the Capitola Trestle when feasible?
Yes.
Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Okay, so then yes. That would be the amended motion.
And that could be friendly?
Well,
yeah,
I'll take the friendly amendment.
Well, that would have to be acceptable to the second. Okay, yeah. So that would be added as a friendly amendment.
So yeah, so
we don't have to vote on it.
We don't have to vote on that. So it's going to be.
We're back to the main motion. There's one more that we have to consider here, and that is our legal counsel, who I think had a couple of minor tweaks that you were going to suggest.
I do, and I think this is mostly consistent with the commission's past practice. And so for items 5 and 7 on the partner recommendation, we would just suggest that we add in bring back to the commission for consideration. So these seem to be very 5 and 7 are directing staff to do something. And the something that staff is doing is the type of thing that would normally come back to the commission for final approval. And we would suggest that you insert that both in 5 and 7. And I was going to suggest that would have been part of the amendment that Commissioner Jensen made as well, too. But his is already anticipating that. And so that would be our only other recommendation to it.
That's acceptable to me.
So with that, we're all clear on the, and now back to original motions with that added language and the friendly amendment. So with that, roll call.
Commissioner Jensen?
Aye.
Commissioner Keeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Clark?
Aye.
Commissioner Montesino?
Yes.
Commissioner Alternate Hurst?
No.
Commissioner Alternate Schifrin?
No.
Commissioner DeSerpa?
Aye.
Commissioner Koenig?
Aye.
Commissioner Alternate Pegler?
No.
Commissioner Alternate Lynn?
Aye.
Commissioner Kitos Carter?
No.
Commissioner Leonor?
No.
That passes with 4 no's.
All right. With that five passage?
Notes. 5 no's. Passes 7-5.
7-5. So with that, we're going to go on to review of items to discuss in closed session.